Well, we are live. We're here to introduce our new podcast series that we're doing. And it's called Future Unlocked: Global Trends in Economics, Politics, and Technology 2030. And within that topic, there's just so much stuff going on right now that I'm kind of looking at the news every day, and I'm kind of in shock. And that's why I'm here with Stephen J. Manning, and we've invited lots of experts to join us on roundtables. It's lovely to see you, Steve.
It's lovely to see you.
So, yeah, I mean, this is a bit of an impromptu live. We don't normally just jump on here without telling people that we're going live. And I just read a very interesting article today by MIT that has done some research into the hundreds of thousands of people that are trafficked into online criminality in Southeast Asia. And I was so surprised by that, that I sent that over to you, because I think it's just such a huge topic that it kind of blew my mind. I mean, can you imagine just turning up thinking you were going to go and get a job after you've basically found something online, you've applied for a job online, and then you've sent your CV to a recruiter who has then said, oh, okay, sure, you can come and meet me at the airport. And then you arrive at the airport, they don't speak English, they take you to, in essence, something that represents a prison in the middle of nowhere in Southeast Asia, and you end up basically scamming people for money, faking social media profiles. It blew my mind, really, Steve, to be honest.
Well, rightfully so. Can you imagine where not so long ago the Nigerian investment scheme was such a big deal? It happens to be a significant component of that massive economy. That was such a big deal. And then the world discovers social media, and then everyone has a mobile phone. There are massive countries in the world where everyone has a mobile phone and no one has a landline, where the whole notion of social media, which is the cancer of the intellect, as far as I'm concerned, became the guiding light, and it has been entirely deleterious to independent thought. It's astounding to see. I'm in disbelief that so much of the population worldwide just sort of accepts it. You know, the old adage, just because in print, it doesn't mean it's true. I read it in a newspaper. I know enough newspaper columns to tell you, no, just because you read a newspaper is irrelevant. Right now, you read a newspaper, the veracity that is dependent upon the news outlet. How perverse is that? It's an amazing thing how many people have succumbed to the ease of use of these amazing things, the whole online environment, online world. I'm the first to applaud much of that. We've been at it, you and I, since we were kids. But people just fall into the thing, you know. Well, that influencer has 4.7 million followers. Must be relevant. No, it's not. It is, you know, every single major advancement in technology, if you will, has two sides. It's clearly the benefits, otherwise they wouldn't survive. But, and we talk about this enough, and then we'll move on, every one of them has potential for misuse, worse, abuse. You not only legitimize the thing you're doing, you legitimize it by way of the ease with which you can do it and the sophistication. That's one little example. I started following genetics 40 years ago. I never forget when these two scientists got a patent, the United States Patent Office, for the breast milk of a pregnant woman they did not know. Because it has something like interferon in it. And imagine, think about that as a concept. And then a terribly distraught man at a congressional hearing, the problem he's having is that his young son committed suicide. And demonstrably, sorry, Sam, he lays that at the feet of ChatGPT, where the kid researched for months the most effective ways for him to commit suicide. Now, and the kid committed, child committed suicide, a tragedy. And the father said, Mr. Altman, how could you allow that to happen? I happen to be a fan, by the way, of Mr. Altman. It's kind of like a virus, you know, kind of like COVID escapes the lab. Let's not argue how that happened, but poof, and it becomes a worldwide phenomenon. Anyway, fraud. 100%. There's never been a greater opportunity to commit fraud.
Well,
and worse, I said this in a forum one day. How dumb to cheat on your expense account. You're not going to get wealthy by stealing $100 from your company. You can lose your job, your career. On the other hand, if I could figure out a way to rip off Chase Manhattan Bank or Citi for $400 or $500 million, get away with it. Now there's an elegant proposition. People looked at me like, would you really do that? I said, of course not. It's a theoretical model. Want to cheat on your expense account? You're going to get fired, lose your career. Want to rip off Chase Manhattan? You might do 3-4 years in prison and write a very, very well-selling book. But we have allowed too many people the opportunity to take advantage of too many people. And it's an amazing thing when we dumb down millions of folks who, instead of being more inquisitive, they actually become more gullible. Scary.
Well, this is the problem, isn't there? I mean, there's been research recently. MIT are doing research, have been doing research into how using large language models actually makes you dumber because you're not thinking as much as you perhaps would have been at the time, right? So that's something else that we're going to kind of explore. We're going to have lots of people that we're going to talk to. 10 episodes we're going to do, but in terms of like fraud, not a lot has really changed except for the method at which, because there are call centers, there are, you know, all sorts of call centers that do fraud. I was actually almost recruited into one about, 20 years ago, 16 years ago. And this chap, he basically got me in for an interview, and I met the CEO of the company, and he turned around and he basically told me I looked like shit, this guy in the interview. And serious, he said, you look like shit. And I didn't get the job, but it turned out that he was actually a criminal who ripped everybody off in the entire call center room. Every single person, all those employees, none of them got a penny. And this guy ran away with like millions of pounds that they had scammed from people who'd invested in this fake Jatropha oil investment. And it was just reading this thing earlier just reminded me of that. But how much worse is it when you've got armed guards that are literally keeping you within a compound and making you, like, forcing you to scam people? Like, I can't even imagine. Like, that's just, it's the closest thing to prison. Like, it's awful. It brought back all sorts of visual memories to me of things that I've seen over the past few years. Wow. Like going to Auschwitz and things like that, you know. But we've got people that are literally using the news, they are using the media to take away the reality of what's happening in this world right now. And that's something else that we're going to dig into here, the manipulation of people. We're going to dig into the consequences of having a digital ID. I know you know quite a lot about that because you write a lot about China and things. And, you know, there's just so much to talk about, because really, by the time we get to 2030, it's going to be not very recognizable, really, for many people, in my opinion, especially in terms of the jobs that they're doing.
I think one of the big topics that we should get into is what you, the digital IDs and so on. I'd love to title a 10-minute thing on what is your social score and what are you doing to contribute to it? Now, that's an interesting concept for a lot of people. What do you mean social score? Well, the China experience, everyone in China has a social score. The government keeps track of every single thing you do, everything you do, how the frequency of buying toilet tissue to everything else you do. And all of that creates a score, much like our predictive models have scoring system. It creates a score, some positive, some negative. Now, imagine when there's, remember the population, when there's 100 million folks in China who receive a social score that's so low as to below the margins. What happens? They have a mild purge of 200 million people that are a drain on society rather than producing something worthwhile. Now, is that science fiction? If you look at the gulags, the concentration camps in northeastern China, exterminating the Uyghurs, may not be such a far-fetched idea. Now, the United States of America, good man, we are data happy. It's amazing when we find out that the governmental agencies know more than they should. And then it's an amazing thing that we people who all have the God-given ability to connect the internet and do research, we don't. And therefore, we are victim. In fact, we self-sabotage. I would love to have an opportunity to tell everyone who cares to listen, here are three or four ordinary things you really should do before you get married to people, ideas, etc. One quick example. You and I, sorry, folks, are fairly sharp at this stuff. We've been at it for a while. We put together $50 billion worth of commerce. We kind of know this. 4 years ago, two trusted, very smart, successful people want to invest in something that I was doing. I was very happy. And then they introduced me to their partner. Among the smartest people I've ever met, a phenomenal data engineer, data guy, data guru, fantastic way to deliver it, knew more than most. I was truly impressed. I came home and said to my very smart wife, I am really impressed. And she said, the meeting lasted, what, an hour? I said, yeah, an hour. No, it doesn't take that long. I said, an hour. And you come back that impressed. I am impressed. She said, do you want to review that? Because you're a pretty good inquisitor. You want to review that? Well, not only was I impressed, she's going to be part of our gig, do this, do that. And she said, Stephen, you're confusing me. Why? You don't buy into this stuff that easily. I bought into it. 1 year later, I also found out that he ran a absolutely 100% fraudulent gold investment scheme out of sub-Saharan Africa. He lived here in Orange County, California. He was an absolute dyed-in-the-wool crook.
Wow.
Now, all I had to do is invest half an hour of my valuable time to dig a little.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, AI, anyone? Now, you don't believe me? Ask Elon Musk. He's kind of a pretty smart guy, and he's got this little thing called Grok. Just ask. But what to the wise, one of the reasons you hire us, because we have the ability and inclination to ask the real fundamental questions. By the way, doesn't matter what solutions you have, the question is wrong, it's academic. What you said, when you interrogate an AI bot, be sure you understand what you're looking for, understand the question. And when you get the answers, you get the answers you need to get, not the answers that computer in Lincoln, Nebraska, Wichita Falls, Kansas wants you to know. But all I had to do is spend an hour, investigate the guy some more. And if I get to, I did that too late. And if I get the 100 accolades and the businesses involved in all the product and all the discovery, I came down with the two guys who complained they were ripped off in his gold scheme. Huh? you have the opportunity to become as good a researcher as Nat or me, just by saying, what do I really want to know? And don't shine a light on me. What do I want? But the fraud part, it is so easy to fall for it, because the fraudsters wake up in the morning with one purpose: how to defraud you. And they're very good at it. The people fighting fraud fight the thing that's already occurring. I keep saying this. The people who make car alarms are always behind the people who steal cars. Make a great alarm, they defeat it, steal your car. Okay, you got to make a better one.
100%. But it's really surprising. It was very surprising to me to hear that Tinder, Facebook, all of these social media applications are just not, they're just not doing anything about these people. They clearly have scripts. So it's kind of like, basically, the government is probably not going to legislate around this, but actually it's a huge, huge problem. And, you know, that coupled with where we're at right now with, in terms of people, the way they are triggered by their emotions based upon their belief systems, based upon what they think is right, what they think is wrong, everything that's going on in their lives. The problem is that people actually can't control themselves. They are really very, very emotional. They get very, very angry for no apparent reason, because they're stressed and their backs are against the wall. And we're at a point right now where the next 4 years are going to really define the world that we live in. And, you know, in England right now, with the digital ID, with the censorship of comments, with, you know, arrests being made, we've got all sorts of things that are basically occurring right now that are, you know, deeply, deeply worrying. And so many people are just moving from the UK to Dubai, which is interesting. I mean, one of the people who hopefully we'll have on our round tables again, because he's a regular guest on our show, he will be on our show and explain why he moved to Dubai. But he explained on one of our shows that a lot of millionaires are moving there because actually the taxes are more favorable. The government in the UK has done an appalling job, etc., etc., in his opinion, and a lot of people's opinions, because they've actually just decided that they're moving. And we're at a point right now where, frankly, things are becoming, things are just moving so fast that they're just changing the landscape where we're living in many, many cases. I mean, I'm a bit isolated here because I'm in Croatia. You're in California, and, you know, I think, you know, I've got lots of friends in England. You know, when a million plus people walk through the center of London and say enough's enough, and then on the television they say, oh no, it was only 100,000 people, then you know censorship is rife. And censorship is to control the masses. And this is the biggest problem that we have right now, certainly in the UK. In the rest of the world, we've got all sorts of problems. We've got Christians being murdered. We've got churches being burnt down. We've got, the camps that you mentioned in China. We've got all sorts of things that are basically going on, and nobody talks about it because it's not a popular topic. Right. And this is something that we're going to kick this around the next 10 weeks. We're going to really dig into these trends. The focus will be mainly on technology, but also we will talk around the other things that are very, very important that integrate with that. So, yeah, I'm very excited about it, Steve. It's nice that you took the time to join me. I'm going to post this Absolutely. Episode on the podcast channels. And we really appreciate anyone that's tuned in. And if you're watching this back, we look forward to sharing our first episode this week on Thursday. So thank you very much. and enjoy the rest of your days.
Thank you.